Well, welcome to the Nonprofit Leadership Podcast, Making Your World Better. Today in the studio is Reverend Scott Fine, the senior pastor of Mountain Life Church here in Park City, Utah. Scott, good to have you. Welcome to the show.
Great to be with you, Rob.
So tell us about yourself. How did you get to Park City? Where did you grow up? And just tell us a little bit about your background.
I'm a Midwestern kind of guy. I grew up in Chicago, the suburbs, the south suburbs. In high school, we moved to the west suburbs, Lisle, Naperville. When we moved there, we started going to a church that had a great youth group and just fell more and more in love with Jesus. And then, like all young people, the question is, where are you going to go to college or get a job or the military? I just had a strong sense then that why not serve God with your life? Went to a small Bible college in Grand Rapids, Michigan for 2 years, then to Wheaton College, got a degree in biblical studies, on to Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in Deerfield, Illinois, where I met my wife. And after 3 years there, a Master of Divinity, God called us to a church in the resort area. My legacy is church and resort area. I mean, if you're going to do church, you might as well live in a resort area. So we lived in the land of 10,000 lakes, Cross Lake, Minnesota, built a log church, nestled in the woods, had an incredible tourist ministry in the summer. After 10 years there, God had been shaping in my heart an understanding that where a lot of the action is in terms of expanding God's kingdom is new church starts called church plants.
And that's what brought you to Park City then.
It was a church plant. You go back now 21 years, Park City didn't have a lot of church options, and there was a group of four lay couples that wanted to see a Bible-based, Christ-centered, family-oriented church. I knew one of the Delta pilots who had moved here because Delta moved its base. If Delta Airlines hadn't moved its base,
you would not have been here.
I wouldn't. And from the human factor, came out here, saw the potential and the need. And God said, it's time to uproot, which is hard. I love roots. That's why I've been one church for 10 years in Minnesota. Robbie, though it's hard to believe, we've been our second church here 20 plus years in Park City, Utah.
Wow. So you've been here. 1993 is what brought you here then, that year?
That year.
Okay. And Mountain Life started with you? Or was it already started?
It had 1 year of lay leadership.
Got it.
Four key lay couples. The challenge of that, what came to find out, is they all had maybe a different view of what they wanted the church to be. Welcome this new pastor from the Midwest, representing a fifth view. So it took a year or two to what maybe you want to call to get on the same page and have harmony of values and approach. And that's a little painful because, you know, it's almost like getting married before you know the person. And that was welcome to find family to Park City. But God was gracious and everyone hung in there with each other and kind of found our identity and off it goes.
So tell the audience a little bit just to quickly about Mountain Life. If you or someone out there maybe don't have a faith community, tell us about Mountain Life.
Yeah, Mountain Life is a family-oriented, more casual, informal, warm church family, seeks to foster in people. We talk about passion for God and compassion for people. We kind of love all kinds of people. It's a pretty diverse group. You know, one of the great things about Park City is most people aren't from here.
Good point.
So we have people from all over the U.S. and overseas with some of our international community. We've got people who've been in church their whole life. We've got people who just started coming in the last 2 weeks. They're finding what we hear from folks who come is they feel a warm welcome and inviting spirit. The worship is uplifting and the messages are relevant to daily life that are Bible-based. So God's blessed us. We just every year grow a little bit and all of a sudden we become a sizable church. Recently, we were able to buy 29 acres adjacent to our 11 acres. So
fantastic. Congratulations.
It gives us an opportunity to expand in any way God would have us. So we're offering up to 3 services. We've added a Sunday night service, which a lot of people are enjoying because we serve a meal at 5:15 to 6, then have a service that's almost a throwback to yesteryear because it's more intimate, a little smaller, a little more friendly, where Sunday mornings at both 9 and 10:45 sometimes are, you know, more sizable services with more energy, a little more upbeat. Sunday nights more unplugged. So obviously, if you're going to keep growing, you offer different things within your same DNA, and it has been working. So that's a little bit about Mountain Life Church.
So tell me about your biggest leadership challenges as a faith leader, as a nonprofit leader. What are those challenges that you face, say, over the last 20 years or specifically even more recently? What are those biggest challenges you face every day?
Well, currently, I mean, I'm living in the reality of having been a key leader of a nonprofit for 20 years. How do you keep going and forging forward in the midst of changing times and a changing culture? We know many churches plateau. Many nonprofits plateau. They reach a level and they can't break through. So one of the challenges is to discern what does it take to continue to get to the next level and what changes would be required. And does the leader, in this case, the senior pastor, have it in him to lead those changes, be open to them, and continue to find new ways to be relevant, to be a growing, dynamic church in changing times.
Mm-hmm. Fundraising, how difficult is that? And I know it's different. We've had nonprofit leaders on the podcast up to this point. I know a church is a bit different because you have offerings every week. But tell me about fundraising. How difficult is that? What's your method of fundraising?
You know, of course, churches fundraise on the Sunday offering is far and away the best. I have chosen not to make money the big issue. We know a lot of unchurched people would say, I go to a church and they want my money. And that's really not accurate, but it's sometimes what is communicated or felt. We try to give folks a good experience and share with them the vision of changed lives, with increasing passion for God and compassion for people, and money follows vision. And money tends to follow relationships. So if you build some good friendships and if people feel like they're being spiritually fed, they're making good friends, they're being uplifted, they're growing in their faith, they're having a more fulfilling life, they kind of get in the rhythm of giving a weekly gift or a monthly gift to help the church along. In some cases, there's the notion of, should I be giving 10%? We don't enforce a 10%. We ask people to, if they want to lean into the church, to prayerfully consider what God would have them give. And many give 5 to 10% of their income. So Mountain Life, being positioned in a pretty affluent culture on a scale, has done very well financially. At the same token, every nonprofit is always open to more. Now, mind you, one of our great delights is give money away. So we're not just trying to see how much money can come into Mountain Life. We're more interested to see how much money can come through Mountain Life.
Give some examples of that. Yeah, where do you give outside of? I bet a lot of people don't even know that if they don't go to your church.
Right.
Where does Mountain Life give?
Well, we've set a baseline of 18% of every dollar that comes in on a Sunday offering goes out.
18%, that's significant.
You know, I suppose the average church is maybe at 10. Some would like us to do more. Here's how we do more, because we want to do more, is we have special offerings throughout the year, and we encourage people to not only give their consistent gift to the church, but to be open to some special projects. So we have ministry partnerships in South Africa, where we help AIDS orphans and vulnerable children, partnering with Bridges of Hope. We have a partnership in Nepal, where Mountain Life a few summers ago raised $200,000 in one summer over and above church giving. When our budget was iffy, we sensed God said, it's about raising money for Nepal. It's like, if you're in church ministry, you might as well do what God says and not what you feel.
That's impressive. That's
attention. God raised it. And it's interesting how people perceive if there's vision, if God's behind it. If there's good vision and God's behind it, people's pocketbook open, particularly if they have a good heart. We all want to live meaningful, fulfilled lives. And when Christ comes into our life, we want to definitely be a meaningful, fulfilled with Him at the center. So I was able to go, Rob, to Nepal and help with the, the dedication of a ministry training center that also has a church that meets in it, 5 stories tall. If Parks and people could see what $200,000 could buy in Nepal, it's amazing. And to walk into a facility and realize I'm handing them the keys as a gift, no strings attached, for me, was one of the highlights of my entire life. And I gave a gift to the fund. I was representing a nonprofit that obeyed God and became generous, and the dividends are daily.
That's impressive that you, a local church in Park City, is impacting Nepal, you know, many miles away in a very practical way.
You know, so we're looking into Haiti now at some of the needs there. We have some connections in Indonesia, helping them in next month perhaps buy a palm oil farm so that they can raise money and be more self-sustaining. So using American dollars not just as a gift, but as a way to create ongoing income and support in an area of the world where the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is less known, and where people are very hungry for it. Locally, though, you know, we support Christian Center, other key nonprofits. We get behind the Crisis Pregnancy Center, Young Life, have a whole list. It's actually fun to have a pot of money because now that our budget is over $1 million, you take 18% of that in extra gifts. We'll probably this year give away $250,000 to $350,000 all over the world and locally. Another way you want to give is hurting people in the church or community. So part of that 18% is what we call benevolence. And that goes to meeting real needs of people. For instance, maybe a single mom needs snow tires to get to work. We'll buy her snow tires.
That's fabulous.
You know, the number of single moms in Park City is maybe greater than some people realize. And they're just incredible people. But they've got the burden of raising the kids and raising money in a one-income home with a one-parent led. It could be single dads in the same metaphor. We have found as a church, it's one of our most fulfilling functions is to get behind and support single parents.
This is fabulous. And I have a feeling, my guess would be, a lot of people don't know how much Mountain Life does, not aware of all your different programs globally or locally. What do you do in marketing? I mean, that's a typical challenge for all nonprofits, churches included. How do you market what you do? And I know that's you run the risk of tooting your own horn, so to speak, but how do you get the word out about what you do? What are your primary methods?
You know, well, our primary method would be our website and our Sunday morning. We have probably chosen to be low-key about advertising what we do. It's maybe a little bit theological where Jesus said, if you go, you know, and announce all your giving, you have your reward. Members tend to know what we do. And at times in the congregation, there are meetings and our website has some expressions of that. Now, as we move into this Advent, Christmas, holiday, Hanukkah season, our second year in a row, we're doing Advent Conspiracy, which is an all-church mobilization to help those who come to Mountain Life say, hey, here comes the holidays, often some of the most stressful, expensive, busy seasons, weeks of the year. Let's go at it differently. Let's get back to the original organic Christmas vision, which was God's loving presence invading people's lives, bringing them delight from the inside out. So we're seeking to mobilize our church, and we've designed an incredible pamphlet. It's almost like a book of ways you can get involved and help other nonprofits serve and reach their goals and free up time for people more.
And is this globally and locally?
Globally, locally, but particularly for Advent, because we're challenging people to be present. Jesus came and became present. So his presence was the key. Mm-hmm. Is we're saying, folks, be present. Bring your loving presence to others. And we're actually less inclined to see how big a check you might cut as how much time you would personally give to be in relationship with people, eye-to-eye relationship, where we're lifting each other up with presence, love, connection, care, et cetera. There's some financial giving in that. But if you don't have any money to give this Christmas, you can have your best Christmas. Jesus came to earth and he needed gifts from three wise men to fund the young upstart family. So we're just thrilled to get into the theological rhythm that Christmas is all about God's loving presence and being present in our lives. Let's be present in each other's life. So we'll see what happens. We did it last year. It was a huge success from a standpoint of fulfillment and dynamic. And it's interesting, as much as on the one hand, we want a bigger and better Christmas and more gifts under the tree, if you go deeper in the human heart, what we really want is to be more loving and giving and lift others up. I think most of us here in Park City, if we're just honest, that we're spoiled. We live in one of the greatest places in the world, even if we're struggling to make our mortgage payment compared to places like Africa or India or inner city. I mean, we can pinch ourselves, and we believe, as the scripture says, we're blessed to be a blessing. Freely you have received, freely give. So this is the season. Let's free it up.
Well said. And so when does that start?
Well, we actually passed out these booklets, and we'll be promoting this in the coming weeks. So it's basically started. It starts maybe in earnest. Advent officially starts 4 weeks before, four Sundays before Christmas, so November 30th. I'll be giving a series of messages each Sunday in December on Advent Conspiracy and the themes that make it happen. So that's going to be enjoyable as well, particularly this year's theme of how can we be more present in each other's lives. It's strange if you think about human relationships. There's a tendency for us to build up walls, to experience unforgiveness, to have grudges, to kind of only show a few cards and to hedge our bets in isolation. And so we just want to break down those barriers and turn God's love loose and do Christmas differently.
Sounds fabulous. Well, one more question on that. I'd love to hear more about that in the future. You've obviously been here for 20 years. You've got a lot of experience now as a local faith leader. What would you pass on to someone who either is a nonprofit leader, maybe not in a church, or someone who isn't a church? What are those things that you would give as advice of how you have hung in there for 20 years and obviously been successful? Mountain Life is a church that obviously is not only here, it's thriving, growing. You've had lots of leadership challenges over the years. What are some of the key points of advice you'd pass off to nonprofit leaders here in Park City?
You know, I think one of the challenges is to know oneself well enough that one leads from a vantage point of confidence in being true to oneself and the sense of direction God has given them without becoming a tyrant or a dictator. We all know the challenges. We serve a broad constituency, and sometimes the constituents want things from us that we don't feel we can give. We don't sense maybe it's right to give, so we get pushed and pulled in how many directions. And it really comes down to then knowing oneself in a sense of direction and yet being able to be interactive with one's constituency so there's give and take. Because sometimes even I might have a sense of where the church needs to go or a nonprofit needs to go. There's got to be a deep humility to say, there's other ways to do this. There may even be better ways. And God tends to bring us some people with greater wisdom. So we don't want to be stubborn on the one hand, but nor do we want to be so wimpy that every time somebody has a good idea, we feel we have to bow to that when it takes us away from a sense of where God or the nonprofit leaders feel it needs to go. So leaders, know thyself, be confident in one's calling, yet I like the principle of give and take leadership. I think I've stayed here 20 years mostly because of some give and take leadership versus Scott always has to have his way. Now, after 20 years, some people actually say Scott always gets his way, and I don't even understand that because it's like I've been trying to give and take every day. In other words, what I want to say is if I really had my way, it would be different than what you see.
Right, sure.
You know, same in marriage. I didn't marry my wife Jeannie to say, now that you're married to me, I make all the decisions unilaterally. And you just have to bow to them. No, we're a team. We're a partnership. And we give and take.
That served you well. Mm-hmm.
That has served me well. But the other thing is if you have a great wife, say a nonprofit, guard your marriage. I think people are watching the nonprofit leader more by the way we're doing life and even what's coming out of our mouth. That's maybe one of the challenges. Call it being in the
bubble.
Fish, yeah, bubble or fishbowl. People, the glass house. I do like it out west. There's a little bit more freedom out west. There's a little lack protocols.
Than the Midwest.
The Midwest. Mm-hmm. You know, you dress more informally out west. If you want to have a glass of wine with dinner, it's not going to necessarily ruffle but a few feathers. Obviously, if you're drunk on Main Street, it'll ruffle
that
a lot
be a problem,
of feathers.
Right?
You know, moderation. So there's maybe a little bit more honesty of the human condition out west. And on the other hand, sometimes people have a hard time coming together and unifying around a central vision, which is maybe the last thing I'd say. That is a huge challenge. I don't know anyone who does it super well all the time to create a vision that's so clear and compelling that people just say, I would do anything to participate in that vision. People,
so vision casting is so important in your mind.
Yeah, you know, and people have their own visions. You know, so it's like right. I come in their life with a vision. Part of me feels like, can I hear their vision as well? Can our visions be complementary? Can they coincide? Can we dance together? Park City is full of entrepreneurs, people with incredible visions. As Mountain Life has grown, though, I think people have realized they need to sometimes get part of a larger vision and put down some of their own agendas, but that's challenging as well.
Scott, this has been fascinating. Thank you so much. We're going to have to get you back on the show because I know there's more we could talk about. Where can people find more information about mountain life?
Yeah, best place is our website, www.mountainlife.org. That's 24/7 access. What a different world.
Isn't that nice?
When I started in ministry, Rob, you had to show up to church and get a bulletin to find out what was going on and maybe a monthly newsletter. So now it's 24/7.
MountainLife.org. Check it out. It's a great church. Scott, thank you so much for your time.
Hey, Rob. Enjoyed being with you this afternoon.